little PBS music there. Hello and welcome to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh Arnold, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. This brand new radio program we have here for you on MSONewsSports.com, and it's sort of an offshoot or a child, I guess, if you will, of the Radio Rotary Hour from years past, and I'll let Josh explain to you what's going on with this program. Good morning.
Good morning, and welcome. Nice to be back after a summer break. Well, we did a Rotary Radio Hour for 3 years. It was a good program, but we're going to have a blended show now. Instead of something that's exclusively Rotary, we will have the occasional Rotarian, but we're going to be talking about a range of different things.
You've got to get this stuff off the mic. That's why it's making all the noise. All right, but I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue. We'll live with that.
We're going to have a range of guests mm-hmm. from people who have written books to what's going on in the community to in today's show, at least, folks who are running for office up and down the North Shore.
So okay.
We're going to tap into the elections and speak to some of those people and maybe get into the presidential race as well.
Sounds good. And this presentation of MSO News Sports is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill, by Honeydew Donuts, by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire, by Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969, Harrington Trophy at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum, a vibrant cultural center. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance. Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder and deep-fried pickles, the best on the North Shore. The Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, serving the North Shore since 1877. So there you go. That's we have a pretty busy lineup this morning. We'll get to that in just a minute. First, though, we will take our first break of the day of the program, and then we'll get back with Josh's first guest.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor, because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to RotaryDreams.org.
Welcome back to the program, Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our first guest is not a stranger to radio shows of the past, Joe Schellino, who's running at large in the city of Gloucester. Joe, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Josh.
Well, now, you're seeking re-election, and I know you've been one of the senior-most people on the council, and you got on because there was a change in the guard and bumping up and all of that. And tell us about your time in office most recently and why you're seeking to re-election.
Well, Josh, the progress that the city has been made and being part of the council for the past few years, has made me proud to be a part of it. You know, I didn't do it all, of course, as a mayor, and it's got to do with the rest of my fellow councilors. But the progress that the city is making is, and where it is today, it's great, and a lot of cities would be envious of us. But you know, the work is not done, and so I'd like to continue to do the work. And I hope the citizens of Gloucester will send me back to the city council. My campaign slogan is, vision, ability, and experience. And I think in this election, with such a high turnover in councilors this year, that experience is going to mean a lot. You have to have somebody on council that's going to mentor and mentor some of the younger people. And it was happily done by me, by Ab Kambadi and Al Sweckler, and I will certainly, mentor the new people that come on board.
Great. Now you. You've been involved in a lot of different things as a city councilor at large. Would you make a distinction between an at-large councilor and a ward councilor? Is the job different, and is that something that's defined by the charter, or is that just something that became the cultural mores of people who, once they get elected, that's what they do?
Well, a lot of people think that, because... the difference between an at-large and a ward, that the ward counselor does more work because consequently, they get the calls for to fill the potholes and do more constituent services. But that the reality is that that's really not true. Is that if you do the at-large, you have five wards to contend with, and not just one ward. And a lot of people will come in and say, oh, for one reason or another. I've contacted my ward counselor and whatever the situation is, could you please help me? And your work is in all the wards, the ward that you were elected to. And in my particular situation is that where I have a storefront on Main Street, and the weather vane, their nickname is called City Hall Annex downtown, is that people come to me because I am readily available. I'm here 7 days a week, and if they have an issue or they just want something explained of what the council is doing, and I can do that, and I do it all the time, and so it's for me to be a war, to be an at-large councilor makes much more sense because I can deal with all the wards. And what I do is I go in and I contact the ward counselor. And, we work together. And that's why you see a lot of orders that come through, for city council that are a combination of the at-large councilors and the ward councilors working on a project together. Right. And that's a distinction. So if you do the job right as an at-large, it's just the same amount of work, but you're serving the same constituency, but you're dealing with a large, the whole city.
A citizen sends their child to Gloucester High School. The per pupil cost there is about $13,000 a child. Same citizen sends another of their children to the regional vocational school. The cost per child there is $23,500 plus, seeming a large disparity. And what can the city government of Gloucester do to rein in the cost? Why is there to make it more of an even playing field for people from Gloucester?
Josh, as you know, the workings of the vocational school is. When we agreed to go into this, years ago, we decided that it was worth a little bit extra expense. For some reason, it's always cost a little bit more. But you're right, and it's costing more than it should be. And I think because the organization is new, and you have new presidents and new boards, we have a representative now on the board, which I think she's president of the board, Melissa Texera. And what we need to do is that Gloucester as one member of that organization can't really have a strong voice. Is what we need to do is gather a bunch of other communities too and say, okay, how can we rein in expenses and why is it costing us more than it should, to educate a child? I find also, Josh, that, speaking with the children, speaking with parents, is that there are a lot more opportunities at the VOC school than sometimes that we'd offer at our high school.
Oh, it's a great school. I'm not criticizing the school. The staff is tremendous.
But that does cost extra money, whether it be tutoring or whether it be special needs. But you know what? The bottom line is this, is that the taxpayers are due an explanation.
Yeah.
And I would hope that, I haven't had a conversation with Melissa yet, but I would think that that has to happen. Why is it costing so much money? more than we expected, to educate our children in a vocational training, and that needs to happen. And I might probably put some order in to ask her to come before City Council and explain to us, whether it be her or whether it be the president, why there's such a discrepancy between what the average cost for to educate a pupil in Gloucester as in the vocational school. And I think the taxpayers need that answer. Now, this has come up, probably this year because, it's all starting to sort out now, moving into the new building and, hiring new presidents and then getting all that done. So that's something that's on the to-do list, and I promise that I'll do that.
Great. Now, the I-4C-2 property has gone on year and out, council after council. What does it take to get it back on the tax rolls, to get some form of business or industry in there? And what do you see? How do you see that playing out? And what role can you play as a member of the city council, if reelected, to try to usher that in?
The I-4C-2 is it's a dog of a parcel that the city of Gloucester created, because what the city of Gloucester did way back then is that they created this parcel, which is waterfront property, but it doesn't have any water rights. So consequently, every time we put it out to bid, there are people interested in it. But why would you want to have a piece of property on the water with no water rights? The city of Gloucester owns the water, you have the lobstermen putting their boats there. We have a large portion of the water sheet. Also, that we own, but the person that whoever buys that property does anything with it, might get a couple of places to put a boat. But other than that, there's no waterfront. So we're also the problem with the marine industrial and having that hamstrung with all the state regs that are what you can put there. It's been on the market for, 30 years, 35 years. Maybe it's time, that the city consider another deal where we can create, we have St. Peter's Park, which is a parking lot / event area. And, one time we used to do different things down there, Seafood Festival, Schooner Festival, and, St. Peter's Fiesta. But we need some place, that's a vista on the harbor. A lot of people think that Gloucester owns a lot of property. Well, they do, but it's not on the harbor. There's very few pieces that the city owns on the harbor. And it's very different from other places like New Bedford. And so the thought would be, what if we keep it, make a park or, / event space like we do down at St. Peter's Park, use it as a parking lot, put in a visitor center, put in toilet facilities for people, and make it visitor friendly, and leave it as an open space. I know we want to put it on taxes, and I know we agreed that when we bought that we would put it on taxes, but the end result is that there's no takers, and the only people that are interested in it are people that don't have any money to put it together, and are expecting the city, to finance it, which the city is not capable of doing that. So where's the revenue? The last proposal I heard is that they were going to do offices for research, and not charge taxes on it. Well, what good is that going to do? You can put a research lab up at Blackburn Industrial. You don't need to have it on the water. So we might want to consider that maybe, the fate is telling us that maybe we should keep it as an open space. We need a portal to the water. Like I said, there's not a lot of places that on the harbor that the city owns. We're having the sailing program in Gloucester is looking for a place to call home. There's things like that where there's absolutely no city property. The reality is, Josh, that we rent the Harbor Master's office. The Harbor Master's office should be down there, and with what's happening, But, you know, right now they're tearing everything down, and, you know, we're going to build everything up, and National Grid is going to clean everything up. But the end result is that we should be on property, especially the Harbor Master's office, that we own, and that's not going to happen. So I think we need to look at it in a different light. You know, instead of developing it, maybe we should leave it in the hands of the City of Gloucester. And I've always said there's nothing wrong with leaving open space. We can always do something. If an opportunity comes along, you know, we can take it. But, you know, leave it, as far as I'm concerned, leave it as an open space in an event center. You know, this year, we know, we've had the movies down there. We have different things. It's a great space, you know, and it just needs to really to be cleaned up and groomed a little bit. So that's what I see. And then that seems to be the hand that the fates have dealt us anyway. So,
quick question for you. Do you think that the mayor form of strong mayor form of government is working well and should be retained, or do you think would you have some inclination of going back to a city manager form of government where the city council appoints a town manager, much the way a school board appoints a superintendent of schools?
I hear what you're saying, but you know, you have to go back and say, why did the city go back to a mayor form of government? It's because the town manager form of government wasn't working. You had, and I don't want to mention any names, but you know, and it was, you know, really before my time that individual created a kingdom, and people got fed up with it and kind of took it all apart and put it back to where it is. I think we're in good shape for the amount of, you know, where we're talking about, 28,000 people. We're talking about an area that is 25 square miles, which is the city of Gloucester, and that, I know, a form of government with a city manager. I think a mayor is a good idea. A mayor, that way citizens can make a mayor accountable, also make the city council more accountable. Do I think that 2 years is really not enough for a mayor, because you're constantly fundraising and being distracted with that? I don't know, maybe you know, it'd be nice if we could change the charter, which is a phenomenal task.
No, I know.
Change it to 4 years, you know.
Okay, let me.
And, if we really work at it, can be done.
Let me ask you. Know, I gotta cut you off because we have to bring our next guest on. But one last question, and a little on the spot, but who were the two best mayors we've had under this form of government?
Well, I think Rafter was a good mayor, from what I understand. He was a good manager, and did a decent job. In between that, one of the things about
three-way tie, right?
I'm gonna say Carolyn and Carolyn Kirk, and the reason I'm gonna say that is that when she took over, the computer system was all screwed up. The bookkeeping was way behind. We had to get a forensic CPA firm to come in and straighten out our books. And the financials in the city were a mess. And I think if you're going to say she was the right mayor at the right time, she did that with her, you know, financial expertise. And also hiring the right people. You know, she organized, she pulled us out of a hole. We didn't know how much debt, you know, we had accumulated, because nobody had the figures. And the computers weren't working. So all that got straightened out. And people's accounts and tax bills and, you know, were credited. But they had a huge box in the CFO's office that they kept on throwing the payments in, because the computer wasn't working, or they didn't know where to post them.
Okay.
You're talking about $100 million business, and I know Rafter ran this rubbish business, and I think Carolyn did a good job on the catch up. Doing that also.
Well, thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and we wish you well in the upcoming election. Take care now.
Thank you for inviting me, Josh.
Okay, thank you.
fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
This is Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken, and I'm running for mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back, together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please, don't assume, go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter, we balanced the budget, we brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th and vote Safathia.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
We're back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our guest is Valerie Gilman. Valerie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Josh, and thank you for having me.
Well, now, you were a member of the school committee for several years and chaired it at one point, and now you're seeking election to the Gloucester City Council from Ward 4. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're seeking office at this time.
Well, I think the most important thing is that I love the city of Gloucester. I've been a resident here for 31 years, 18 in this ward. And I summered here as a child, and my family, we decided to make this our home because I love this city. I've been a civic volunteer for over 10 years, been involved with many, many boards, including the 6 years on the Gloucester School Committee, where I was 2 years as chair and 2 years as vice chair. And I believe that I can make a difference. I was very close to Jackie Hardy. She was my liaison when I was on the school committee. I loved everything she did for this ward. She was a great listener, and I really feel like I can hit the ground running and make a difference for the people that live on in this neck of the woods.
Good. What is some distinction that some folks distinguish between the responsibilities of a ward council versus an at-large? Do you make that distinction, and how do your skill sets line up that would allow you to do what's expected or for a ward counselor?
That's a great question. I believe that the most important attributes of a ward ability to advocate and navigate through the city. And my listening skills, I think, have always been excellent. I think some of you might remember when I was chair of the Gloucester School Committee, I did coffees at George's Coffee Shop every Friday for a couple of years. And I would listen to the public, and I would bring back the issues that the public felt about the schools and things that we were doing, and I'd report them back to our school committee. I also was a proponent of having many hearings and listening sessions, focus groups, surveys. And all of that is really important, and that's what made Jackie such a great leader over here. And my knowledge of the city government and the department heads, how to navigate, how to use the C-click system of reporting issues and looking at processes to hold our department heads accountable to responding to issues on a timely basis, whether it be litter, speeding, noise, whatever. Potholes, I think that really is important. And then the final part is participating in citywide votes. And that's something that a ward counselor also has to participate in. So what that means is that I need to stay very abreast of what's going on in the city. I need to be researched, well-evidenced with information. One of the things that I plan on doing if elected is I want to have a very active website where I can survey folks in our area prior to vote and find out what their thoughts are. I also have been thinking of creating some neighborhood message boards in different venues, a couple of the stores, restaurants, maybe even near the fish shack, of information regarding when public hearings are going to be held, when upcoming meetings are going to be held, just things that if people aren't always on their email or internet, they can go to and just find out what the heck's going on in the city. So all those are things that are important to a ward counselor, I think, to summarize: listening, advocating, navigating, and getting the job done, helping people solve their problems, being accessible, et cetera. So I think that really is the big difference in being a ward counselor.
What do you think should happen to the Fuller School property?
Well, I'm very happy that the Fuller School property was the city council 2 weeks ago approved the bidding process. I think that it's imperative that we find some good new revenue for the city. I think that that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward with the 10-year capital plan for our municipal buildings and our schools. I think without doing that, we're not going to have any cushion to be able to do anything proactively because of our annual debt right now of $16.5 million. So it's imperative that we bring in the new business, new jobs, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes about. I think the process is fair. I think it's been well communicated, and I'm very eager to see what's going to happen in terms of new business, new opportunities there that can really help give us that extra little bit of financial cushion to be able to move forward in this great city. And we need that, and we needed to make this decision, and I was proud of the council for doing that.
It costs roughly $13,000 to send a child to Gloucester High School, yet if a citizen of Gloucester sends their child to the regional vocational school, it costs $23,500 plus to educate the same child. Given that disparity, what can folks on the Gloucester City Council do to tighten the budget or the belt and rein in the cost of what seems to be a runaway train at the regional vocational school?
Well, I was happy to see that Melissa Texera, now the council or the school committee chair, so I think that, you know, she certainly would be a good person to bring the budget process and back to the city council on a regular basis so that the council has an opportunity to proactively see what's up ahead and what some of those financial decisions are. I think that, you know, they will need to be really getting their arms around why the costs have gone, have increased significantly over the past years. Having said that, I am a supporter of the Essex Tech. I was part of the support to partner with them and to be part of their startup. I think that the amount of our kids in Gloucester that take advantage of the unique programs that are offered there is second to none. I mean, culinary arts, information technology, hairdressing, you know, so many issues, so many areas that our folk school in Gloucester doesn't cover. So it's a great complement to things that we can't cover in Gloucester. So I do support the program, but I do think that we have to really look long and hard at what some of those areas are that might be a little bit excessive right now, because that difference is huge, and I agree with you that it's something that we need to look at as a council and as a city.
I-4C-2 is a property that's gone nowhere for decades now. What are your thoughts about getting that back on the tax rolls, making it a public park, or leaving it alone and let people complaining about it?
Well, obviously I want to see something done there. You know, I've had some thoughts on my own. I think a park, I think aquarium, I think anything to do with our maritime heritage would be awesome. So I think it's time that we start to get our arms around that. I think having it sit there for some movies and for summer theater and parking really is a waste, and it's a beautiful piece of property, and I look forward to being part of the process to hear more from the community in terms of what they think, and moving forward as a council and as administration to make the changes and get that moving forward.
Do you think city elections should be more bipartisan? Democrats and Republicans, independents, running, pitching a platform of a party, or is the way it's always kind of been, people just run regardless of what party they are? What's your sense? Because there's a flavor in this election that it's becoming more bipartisan.
I'm glad you asked that question, because I've been asking the same thing, Josh. So our city charter is the doctrine that is governs the city. And in our city charter, Section 8.1 clearly states that local elections are nonpartisan. So I believe that we need to get rid of any type of party lines in these elections. I think they can be divisive. I think they can be angry. And that's so against the things that I believe make this city so great. My feelings are that we have to work together, that we have to be positive, that we have to work a plan. And when you get parties involved with certain races, it really can be very divisive and counterproductive. So, and even fundraising. Fundraising on issues such as, what party is representing you, it just doesn't seem fair. When people put signs in the yard, I want them to feel that they know the candidate. They know the candidate's experience, background, and they're not just blindly supporting a person because of a party that they represent. So, good question, and hopefully I made my thoughts clear.
What would some people think? Some people have talked about the idea of a that the strong mayor form of government is working well, and other people harken back to the days when a professional town manager ran the city. In those days, the city council was the executive branch, and they appointed a town manager or town administrator to handle the inner workings of the city, much the same way as a school committee would hire a superintendent to run the school system. Having been chairman of the Gloucester School Committee, vice chairman, and work and seeing how that model works, what's your position? Do you have a sense that one's better than another, and why?
Well, I can't compare it to the town manager because I don't remember what things were in those days, so it's hard for me to say.
Sure.
I can tell you that something that I think is very important, I think that when we're able to change and modify the city charter in 2020, which is the next time we can do that, I believe that it's imperative that we, together as a team, as elected officials, as private citizens that are trying to advocate, that we need to change the terms for the mayor and city council and school committee. I think if the mayor was working in a three-year term, I think so many more things would get accomplished. And, we're always in an election process, it seems. You put 1 year in of work, and then all of a sudden people start campaigning again. And that certainly isn't what our city needs when we're trying to make good, strong decisions that are best for the community. I really don't have enough data, Josh, to really answer which one is better.
Sure.
But if that ends up being something we want to consider going forward, I would certainly be the first one to roll up my sleeves and do some benchmarking and talk to people and find out the pros and cons.
Who were two people who served as mayor of this town, the city, that you thought did a good job, or whose style is consistent with how you approach things?
That's kind of a tough question. In the three leaders that I really can remember are John Bell and Mayor Kirk, and now Safathia as an interim mayor. I think all of them have brought strengths to the table. I think John Bell did a lot in terms of community involvement and participating in some good decisions. I think the former mayor made real good strides in a lot of her business practices. I didn't always agree with her free cash surplus at the end of the year and would struggle with that from year to year. And I think Safathi right now has a good sense of community spirit and getting people involved and feeling like Gloucester is moving forward as a team. So it's hard for me to say who were the best because I think all of them had some great strengths.
Great. Well, thank you for being a guest on Trend. Forward to talking with other candidates along the way and wish you the very best in your race.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh, and thanks for letting me part of your show. Take care.
You know, I was the question you asked about the partisan thing, I was talking with Catherine Bayless yesterday, who was working for Paul McGeary. And Paul McGeary, of course, city council president who is running for mayor in the city of Gloucester. And I was, in fact, I mentioned it this morning on North Shore Today to Bill Newell, was as a citizen, as a voter in the community, and not only nonpartisan but really apolitical, I didn't know who was on what and who was affiliated with what, red, blue, green, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I see now, and I'm going to mention the Republicans because that's where I've seen it, and I am neither Republican nor Democrat, that they are sort of working together as a clump, as a group, and they have sort of a platform in the city, and I can't say if that's good or bad. I'm just saying I have never seen that before. And one of the things I've always mentioned, even on former programs when talking to people, is I don't know. I mean, I talk with Mayor Driscoll and Mayor Betancourt. I don't know what party they're in, and I really don't even care. So I find that interesting that that's suddenly coming to the fore now, and I'm wondering, you know, if that is a trend on trending now.
Yeah, I don't know, and it's because I was in a former life. I was very much involved in getting candidates elected for about 30 years. I could drive by a house and I knew whether it was a Democrat or Republican, you know, house, or whether, you know, it'd always be a Republican sign, like a sign for a Republican candidate versus it. It just useless information that's stuck in the back of your head, but you know that stuff because that you live it when you're in that involved in campaigns.
Well, the thing is I didn't know, don't know, and really in a sense sometimes don't even want to know. But I do know people, some people I've worked with as educators who would vote strictly party lines. Period. That's it. End of the argument. And you know, on a local level, in my opinion, it's always worked. The bipartisanship has always worked. So I just find that interesting, and editorially speaking, I'm not sure I'm crazy about it. We'll see where it goes, see what happens.
Last time, I think, in Gloucester experienced people running as a ticket. If you can use,
and that's what it looks like this year.
If you can use the term ticket, yeah. You're going to go back to the Reform Council of 67 or 69, when there were a block of five or six or seven people that ran kind of as a group, and there was to usher in a new financial system and more financial accountability. But I don't know that we've had anything since then.
All right, this is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. We have football coming up this evening on MSO News Sports. We have a live video game coming up. Excuse me?
We have one more.
Yes,
guest.
I know.
Okay. We're wrapping up.
Been doing this for a while, kid.
All right.
We do have our live video game is Beverly at Gloucester, a big one. And, of course, we've got two games coming out of Lynn this evening with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns. And that will have Lynn English versus St. Mary's, our first game at 5. And then that'll be followed by Swampscott at Lynn Classical, all coming up here. And, of course, we have North Shore Today, which is on the website right now for today, Friday, September 18.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
Okay, no, hang that up for a second. Okay. All right, we'll get the bugs ironed out here. Now, I just want to mention we do have Melissa Cox coming up, Ward 2 City Councilor in Gloucester. She's running for re-election.
Re-election.
Okay, and again, we're going to be expanding. We're going to be talking with people all over the North Shore, and it's not going to be just political candidates, although obviously that's our focus now during the election season, but other areas as well.
That's right. A lot of folks will be people in various forms of community service, people, book authors from a local area. We'll be talking with, we hope to have somebody reporting in from the State House periodically, telling us what's going on in our state capital and in the legislative process. And a whole host of things. So what's happening in Gloucester? What's happening in Beverly? What's happening lots of different places?
What's trending?
What's trending?
Trending. We have to get into the 21st century. All right, we'll be right back.
Right.
This is Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken, and I'm running for mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please, don't assume, go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter. We balanced the budget. We brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th, and vote Safathia.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our next guest is Melissa Cox, who is the current Ward 2 City Councilor in Gloucester, Massachusetts, seeking re-election. Melissa, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about you and what your term has been like serving in Gloucester as a Ward 2 councilor. And why are you seeking re-election at this time, and what do you hope to bring to the equation?
Well, I've been in the role for 4 years now, and I really enjoy it, sometimes more than others, but for the most part, like 98% of it, it's great. It's rewarding. I feel like I'm making a difference. So I'm going to continue, hopefully, with that trend and, you know, aim to have better resources for the residents, better communication with the residents, and, you know, just adding a sense of responsibility to the role, and hopefully that'll come out in the ordinances and the changes that are made and, you know, just trying to keep it on an even keel.
What just some topics that I think you've dealt with or are dealing with or have certainly exposure to. Your thoughts on the Fuller School property. What should happen with that, and what is your vision of what that should look like going forward?
You know, I was definitely on board with keeping it a school. Unfortunately, I'm not on the school committee. I'm on the city council. So I can only deal with the cards that are dealt to us. And right now, the school committee has declared it surplus. We've declared it a surplus. And now it's time to move on to find a great sale price for it and hopefully somebody that will do long-term improvements for the city, such as jobs and, you know, businesses and things that we're missing in Gloucester right now. And anything that adds jobs to our local economy is fabulous in my book.
Great. What I4C2, any sense of what the future of that holds other than being an unused, untaxable vacant lot?
You know, we have restrictions on that lot because it's DPA. You have to find the perfect buyer, and I do believe with, you know, our presence at the seafood show last year, thank you to the current mayor for that. It's a great opportunity for us to showcase Gloucester, and, you know, it has potential. It has amazing potential. We just got to find the right person. You know, in the meantime, I had wished that it would have been a resident lot and not a pay lot, but that was set up long before I got involved. There was a parking meter installed down there before it was even allowed to be a parking lot. So it's kind of disappointing. My vision would have been more to give back to the residents and make it a resident-only lot and free up the meters for tourists, visiting people, shopping downtown, more convenient parking spots. And, you know, all you need for a resident lot is a resident sticker or a beach sticker, which 90% of us already have.
What do you think about bipartisan elections for the city? There's a sense that this year's election has more of a Republican-Democrat flavor to it than has been the case any time recently. Do you think that helps the process, or is it not the way we should be going? Can you weigh in on that?
For as long as we've been a country, we've had Democrats and Republicans. So we might as well embrace it and move on. We're always going to have that. We have this awesome new group called Independent, which equals unenrolled on a voter registration card. But it allows people to choose which side they want to be on. You know, I think the two roles with Democrats and Republicans has always, always played a part in every election, no matter how big or small. It's just maybe this year it's a little bit more vocal than it was 2 years ago.
Okay. The cost of sending a student to Gloucester High School is about $13,000 a child. The cost to send a student to the regional vocational school is $23,500 plus. What can you as a city councilor do to rein in the cost of the regional vocational school and to create more of an equal playing field?
You know, again, I'm not on the school committee, so I'm not up on everything that has to do with our school system. It is disappointing to know that it's so much more. But at the same time, they offer so much more. I mean, if you know what field you're going to go into and it's offered at the tech school, go for it. I think they offer a lot of different things, and it's a variety. Obviously, I wish the cost was equal to that of a regular high school degree or diploma, but it's not because they don't teach the same thing. They have different courses that offer specialty skills. And, you know, if you can do that and get your high school diploma and be set to hit the ground running for, you know, a specialty skill, then you're saving money with college, too. So, but there is always opportunity to rein in costs.
Would you favor a management audit of the regional vocational school?
Absolutely. I think every government office should go through an audit, you know, if not annually, you know, maybe every 2 years.
Well, not a financial audit, but a management audit. To look at, you know, if you go back to the formula when Ed Moskovich was giving input to the then Department of Ed about how the per pupil cost should be. But, you know, look at what is staffing here versus other regional schools or staffing versus Gloucester High School. You know, what is the, student ratios, whether are the salaries comparable? I know that there are some cases you have teachers with the same course load, same experience, and there's a $10,000 differential on their salaries, and because they were two separate schools and they merged and they haven't figured out how to fix that yet. And so the taxpayers just pay it anyway.
I don't think it matters if it's a financial audit or a management audit. I still agree that it should be done for that very reason. Because, you know, we were told one thing, we were told one cost, and now it seems to be skyrocketing. I still really put a lot of value on what they're offering and the differences. And it's fortunate for us that not all of our students are going there. So we're only paying for our share of our students that are going there.
All right. Should we be looking to expand the tax base in areas of business and industry, or are we good the way we are? If we should be looking to expand it, what further steps should the City of Gloucester and the City Council be doing to get there?
I think we should always be looking to expand our tax base, whether it be through tourism or courting businesses to come, courting businesses to stay, to expand if they're currently here. I think, you know, there should be incentives to be given, but I'm not talking, you know, a TIF or, you know, it just depends on what the project is. But if a business says that they can't make it here because of our water rates, or they can't make it here because our taxes are too high, or, you know, they want to, we have to weigh every case individually and see what we can offer. And we'd be silly not to do that. We do it in private industry all the time. So why not with municipal?
What are your thoughts about expanding tourism? Do we have enough tourism here, or should we be trying to bring more tourism in here? And what kind of things might we be able to do to achieve that?
Tourism needs to be done in layers. I think we need to make sure we have the proper infrastructure in place. Signs, roads, restrooms. If somebody has a bad experience, say if they get a ticket because they parked in the wrong spot because they didn't, you know, the sign wasn't clear, or they're going to have a bad experience and they're going to tell a lot more people than if they had a good experience. So we need to do it the right way, and we need to be methodical about it and how we do it. We can't just, you know, invite 10,000 people to our city and not have a plan what to do with them and where to put them. This year's traffic, for example, was out of control. And none of us were prepared for it because none of us expected it. We don't know what caused the influx. I know tourism has been advertising more, but again, we're not going about it the right way with, we need surveys, we need to figure out where these people are coming from, how they're finding out about us. And maybe next year we'll be prepared for the traffic. But, you know, like Wingersheek, it's a small parking lot, but the beach is pretty big. But the beach is bigger at low tide than it is at high tide, obviously. So, you know, we can't do an off-site parking lot and try to shuttle people there because, you know, we just need to have a better plan on how to deal it and how to make the offerings for the city.
Where do you see the one last question as we wrapping up? But where do you see the ordinance that came in recently to add parking on Atlantic Road to the Back Shore in East Gloucester? So for people who want to go to Good Harbor Beach, do you think that's going to in Niles Beach? Do you think that's going to work?
Absolutely not. You know, it's one thing if you want to stop there and take some pictures, but it's a narrow road. People are already distracted by the awesome view, and I just think it's not It's not a controlled parking lot. We have Good Harbor Beach parking lot, and there's attendants there. There's police officers. You know, there's just a measure of security, too. I know we had some problems with some break-ins, but for the most part, it's a controlled parking lot. If people are parking on the streets, you know, are they blocking access for pedestrians? How long is good enough? We'll lose the revenue from the beach parking. If we want to park them at, you know, a bigger lot and shuttle them in with the trolley, that's completely different because it's a controlled parking lot. But I don't think people should be parking in front of people's houses and going to Good Harbor for 8 hours.
And of course, Nautilus Road, just to clarify, Nautilus Road is not owned by the city. The road that goes by the bridge at Good Harbor Beach belongs to the beach club, and they convey that to the city, the right of the citizenry to cross their property to access the beach in exchange for no parking on that road. Am I right? Is that correct?
I have not ever heard that.
Okay.
That's not ever been brought up in any of the discussions, and we've had plenty of discussions.
Check that. I think you'll find I'm right.
Okay.
Very well.
I'm not surprised at all by that.
All right. Well, I grew up over there, too. But anyway, thank you very much for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and we wish you well in your upcoming election.
Great. Thank you so much. Good talking to you.
Take care.
I want to make a correction here. As I mentioned, I was talking with Catherine Bayless the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, as she was working for the Paul McGarry campaign. And I alluded to her this morning in North Shore Today as the chair for the Democratic City Committee, and that is incorrect. The current chair is Michael Wheeler. Catherine has corrected me. Thank you, Catherine. And Catherine doing yeoman's work as always. Classmate of mine, as it were.
Catherine?
Yeah. And
Michael Wheeler wrote the book Lies, Damn Lies, and Statistics, among many other books that he's written. He was a guest speaker in Ben Smith's politics class when I was a senior in high school. How's that?
Okay. And, you know, I got to tell you, since this is an opinion program, my opinion about the new Essex Aggie, whatever the correct name of it is, as a retired teacher from Gloucester High School, give us that $9,000 difference per student and watch what we can do in our vocational program.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the problem...
Wait a minute, excuse me. You said 13 and 20...
13,000 in Gloucester, 23,500 in...
Okay, so it's more than 10.
Yeah.
Okay, give us that 10,000 per student and see what the vocational program will look like in the city of Gloucester.
You know, I mean, I worked there briefly on an interim basis, and the level of administration that they had for a high school was more than we had in the days when I worked for the Gloucester district and most other schools. And I think a lot of regional schools are that way.
Well, you planted a seed. Maybe there will be an audit forthcoming as requested by the city of Gloucester. But I know that either give Gloucester $10,000 more per student or take that away from Essex Aggie and bring it back down to $13,000 for our kids. Talk about a level playing field and see what happens to their programs.
Well, I'll give it back to the taxpayers. Yeah, you know, if you're charging, if the whole part of the Education Reform Act of 1993 was to create an equal playing field, right? So, if you're a parent, you have twins, and you send one to the regional and one to the high school, how is that equal?
All right, those questions and more will be answered in upcoming programs, I'm sure, with opinions and facts from you. I hope you can let us know at msonewsports.com. No, check that. msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Now, the news sports is a play on words. It's either news sports, a la Gloucester, Beverly, Salem, etc., or news sports. And we're talking about, of course, most of our amateur and high school sports in the area. Speaking of which, three football games on this evening. One, it'll be Beverly at Gloucester on Channel A. We'll also have live streaming video. And we'll have a couple of games out of Lynn tonight with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns. First game will be Lynn English at St. Mary's at Manning Field at 5 p.m. That'll be followed by Swampscott at Lynn Classical at around 7:30 p.m. That'll be on Channel B. What about next week?
Lots of guests scheduled. Definitely we have Bob Wynott Jr. and Bill Fonvay will be speaking quite possibly Scott Nolan, Sean Nolan, who was supposed to speak today and had a last-minute cancellation.
Okay, and in that same vein, you will find on our website a discussion with the Swampscott Town Manager, the Salem Mayor, and the Peabody Mayor. Those are all up on our website. Just take a look at them for those interviews, and that is part and parcel of what we do. Again, opinions, comments, criticisms, I would prefer critique, but whatever, give us a shout-out at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. We'd be happy to hear from you. So that's it for our first edition of Trending Now with Josh Arnold. With Josh and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.